this opportunity, a second time in this day, Lord, to approach thy holy throne in prayer and to have thy word before us. And we pray, Lord, that as we have felt this morning, that again this afternoon we may feel thy presence, that we might know that thou art here among us and that thou art directing us into thy ways, ways that would please thee well, that would be according to thy righteousness. And Lord, that we might be one with thee. And so we lean upon thee. We pray, Lord, that thy word would go forth in power and that it might go forth in truth. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this afternoon, let's turn to the familiar chapter of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. The Lord came unto Moses, and he distributed that word to the people of Israel, and the law was given, and they, in general, held the law in high regard. They revered it and they committed it to their hearts and to their lives, and they lived thereby by the law that was given unto them, the children of Israel. Then the Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, Jesus Christ came here upon this earth, and he brought forth the gospel message, the truth, and had fulfilled the law. And he brought forth this gospel message that we have become so familiar with here in the New Testament. And if we go to the beginning of this book of Romans, we see how the Apostle Paul was making the points that yes, the law was precious, but now we live by faith. We live by faith and without works of the law. In chapter 1, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is the power of the gospel of Christ that brings salvation. The power of God brings salvation to us as we believe in this gospel of Christ. He continues, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. In this gospel of Christ, this is the righteousness of God, and it's revealed. And it's revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So again, he's bringing these points out that in the beginning, there was the law, and the law was held in high regard. But then the gospel of Jesus Christ came, and now we live by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, faith in what he has done. In chapter 3 of this book, we read that at this time, his righteousness, to declare it, I say, at this time, his righteousness, there's a declaration of the righteousness of God, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ. We are justified as we believe now in Jesus Christ, as we walk by faith. As we have this belief in what the Lord has done according to the gospel message of the message of Jesus Christ coming here below and dying for our sins and rising and living forever, as we have faith in him. Further, he says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Even as we sang in the opening hymn, we're justified by faith. Without works of the law. Circumcision now doesn't mean anything. The way that they held the Sabbath in terms of not plucking corn as they would go through the field, that was done away with. That was done away with. We are now justified by our faith, the faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, do we then make void the law through faith? No, God forbid. We don't make void the law of faith, void the law through faith. We establish the law. And again, just as Jesus Christ says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And this is a fulfillment of the law, this way of faith, this life of faith that we live, this new way that the Lord has provided, that the just should live by faith. Further in chapter 5 of Romans, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God now because we have faith in him, because we trust in him, because we believe in what Jesus Christ has done and the fulfillment of what he has accomplished upon the cross. We have now peace with God because of our faith in him. In Galatians, we read that in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, while we are in him, circumcision doesn't mean anything, neither does uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. A love that is the engine, the power behind our faith. A faith that works by love. A faith that believes in him, and the operating system is love. In chapter 13 of Romans, we also read, love worketh no ill toward his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Again, there's a fulfillment of the law through this gospel message of Jesus Christ, through our faith in him. The just shall live by faith. This is the summation of it. The just shall live by faith without deeds of the law. So he makes these declarations throughout the first 11 chapters of Romans. And then we get to Romans 12. And now here is the manifestation of a life of faith. This is what a life of faith looks like. This is the revelation of this life of faith that we have, that the just shall live by faith. Here's what it looks like. And we read these things, and we're familiar with these things. And so it takes the law, and it not only fulfills it, but it raises it up to a great new level. He begins this chapter by saying, I beseech you, therefore. I'm making a plea with you. I have a request of you. He says, brethren. And what does he do it by? He does it by the mercies of God. The mercies of God that brought forth the gospel message. The mercies of God that sent forth his son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is the mercies of God. And he's saying, and I'm beseeching you, I'm asking of you, by these mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. That life is manifested of a life of faith by being a living sacrifice. No more a sacrifice of a lamb that's unspotted, but now a living sacrifice, a sacrifice that's alive, a sacrifice that's active. And we are able to be active in our faith, in our demonstration of our faith, and manifest this living sacrifice in a way that would be well-pleasing to God, that he would not be ashamed to call us his sons and his daughters, but that we might be that living sacrifice for him, that's holy, that's acceptable to God, and it's simply our reasonable service. Our reasonable service. This isn't something that God is asking so much of. And when we consider what Christ has done for us, when we consider the love of God and his mercies and his blessings and his forgiveness that he has toward us, that when we become a living sacrifice, doing what he would have us to do, being yielded fully to him, that that's simply just a reasonable service. That's not asking too much. That's just simply a reasonable service. And he's saying, Further, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can show what the perfect will of God is by not being conformed unto this world, but being transformed, by no longer living in sin, that the works of the flesh would be despicable to us, that we would hate those things, the revelings, the partings, the banquetings, the abominable idolatries, the drunkenness, the wrath, the hatred. All those things would be an abomination to us, but that we would be transformed, completely made new. Our bodies may look the same, but we are a completely different attitude, completely different mindset. And we now walk by the fruit of the Spirit, living, coming, and coming forth from us, walking in this way of faith that he would have for us. Further, he says, "For I say," again, he was beseeching them, and now he's saying, "I say unto you," and how is he saying it? Before, he was beseeching them by the mercies of God, and now he's saying unto them, "Through the grace given unto me." Grace was given unto the Apostle Paul, and he was using this grace to say things unto them, to make declarations unto them, to show them the way of salvation, to show them what it looks like to live by faith, to live by faith, that they would have salvation by their faith in the Lord. And he had this grace. And we recall again from Scripture, and it's been brought up many times, that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And if we humble ourselves, grace will be dispensed to us. Grace will be given to us. And grace was given to the Apostle Paul, and he's using this grace to say unto these believers here in Rome that they would not think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So again, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And this is a manifestation of faith, that a man should not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm making this declaration unto you through grace. Through grace. Don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Last Sunday morning we had the parable about the talents that were given, and how that there's a correlation there of how God gives faith, and we use the faith that God has given unto us to his honor and to his glory. And here the Apostle Paul is also making note of that, saying that according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God is dealing out faith to us. And there's a measure of faith that he is dealing out to us. And with that faith that we have, we live thereby, and we recognize that, well, everything I have has come from the Lord. Therefore, I can't think of myself more highly than I ought to think. But I have to have a sober mind. I have to realize that all I have has been given unto me by God, by my Maker, by my Creator. It's been all given to me. He says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." He's using this example of a body, as he does in other places of the Scriptures that we have. And he says, "Having gifts differing according to the grace given unto us." Again, kind of putting that in parentheses, it's according to the grace that is given unto us. We are given grace. And by this grace and by this faith that has been meted out to us, that has been measured out to us, we can do what God would have us to do. So we have gifts that are differing, and it's given to us by grace. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. And this is serving, having that servant heart, serving unto others. Let us wait on our ministering. In other words, be attentive to it, looking for that opportunity, being ready to give, being ready to serve. And this is all done in faith. by grace. Because we're living out our life in faith. The just shall live by faith. Those who have been justified, those who have been redeemed, those who have been made just as if they've never sinned, they live in this way. We live in this way. We have been justified. And as we have been justified, we live according to faith. And this is what faith looks like, that we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, that we recognize that we are part of a body, and if we are being called to serve, that we are ready and willing to serve. Or he that teacheth on teaching according to the grace and the faith that God has given unto us. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him doeth with simplicity. Again, I appreciated the message from this morning of giving of ourselves and giving, even as the widow gave her last two mites, and even as the widow there in Elijah's time had given her last meal to Elijah. So are we to give. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And I appreciate that verse there that Jesus speaks when he says, give, give. Give, and it shall be given unto you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. This is what a life of faith looks like. It's elevated far greater than what the Mosaic law or the ceremonial law would call us to do. It goes far beyond circumcision or uncircumcision. It goes far beyond keeping the Sabbath in terms of measuring out how many steps you take on a Sabbath day. This goes far beyond that. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, this is all part of the body of Christ. And this is what we are all being called to fulfill that which of the grace and of the faith and of the talents that the Lord has given unto each and every one of us, that we would do it with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. With cheerfulness. What a beautiful display of attitude that is, that there's mercy shown, and that mercy shown is with a cheerful attitude, with great joy. With great joy and willingness to show mercy. Why? Because God has been so merciful to us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Let love be without dissimulation. When we think about what the two greatest commandments are, that we would love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we would love our neighbor as ourselves, here we are being instructed that as the just live by faith, that the love would be without dissimulation, that it would be without any pretense, that it would be without any show, but that it would be true and that it would be sincere. This is the love that we are being called to display as we live out in faith. Again, going back to that verse in Galatians 5:6 says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision in Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean anything, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which works by love. That love that powers faith in our lives. And so we're being called to have our love without any pretense, without any show, but that our love would be true. And then that manifestation of faith is made. Abhor that which is evil. Hate all the works of the flesh. And cleave to that which is good. Cleave to that which is good. We all have an image in our mind of someone cleaving to something. That they're just not going to let it go. They're going to hold on to it very, very tight. I'm not sure what that image is in your mind or what recalls in your mind when you think of one who cleaves to something. Perhaps someone holding on to a cliff so that he doesn't fall off. Cleaving. Cleaving to that which is good. Never letting go of that which is good. Pleasing the Lord in these things. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. The just shall live by faith. This is what faith looks like. This is what a life of one who is faithful to the Lord, who believes in his Lord, who has the power of God to become the child of God because he believes in God. And this is that manifestation of that we be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love. Truly having an esteem one for another, that we in honor would prefer one another. I appreciate that the term there, being kindly affectioned one to another. In Ephesians 4:32, the verse says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, by Christ, through Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." This is a life of faith. This is a life of faith. We often hear the term, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep these things. Keep these things. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, for God's sake, hath forgiven you. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Going back to Colossians 3 that was referenced this morning as well, that we always be fervent in the spirit, that we would mortify the deeds of the flesh, and that we would be risen with Christ, that we would live for him. And so we are to serve the Lord in these things, because we are a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice, a sacrifice that doesn't die, but a sacrifice that's living, a sacrifice that continually yields itself to the Lord and is ready, saying, "Here am I, Lord, here am I, Lord. I'm willing to be used. I'm willing to serve." And that the Lord would then be well pleased with us. That living sacrifice that we are to be, that we are called to be, that is a life that is living in faith. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. Hope is such a fundamental, important part of one's life. If there is no hope, what are we doing? What is anything for? We are to rejoice in this hope that we have in Christ Jesus. The Bible speaks of, in Romans chapter 4, the Bible speaks of Abraham. And it says, "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations." He didn't have hope in terms of having an offspring. He didn't have hope in that. And he was called out of the land of Ur. And he came to a land where he was unfamiliar with, of the land of Canaan. And yet he had hope. And yet he believed. Yet he believed. And he kept and he held on to those promises that were given unto him. But he, against hope, believed in hope, and that he might become the father of many nations. In chapter 8, it says, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Hope can give life and a means to move forward when we can hope in something that is sure, hope in something that is steadfast, and that is his word. Again, in this same book, chapter 15, it's written, "For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." All the Bible has been written that we might have hope. That we might have hope. That we might recognize that there's something far beyond, that's greater, that's far greater beyond this life. And we have hope in that. And we have patience through this life. Our hope gives us that patience. And then we also have comfort. Comfort from the Lord in knowing that all is well. We have been redeemed. We have been justified. The Lord did it all. We believe in the power of God and the gospel that brings salvation. We believe in it all. And that gives us patience, and that gives us comfort, and that we, through the scriptures, have this hope in the Lord. In Hebrews, it speaks, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. This hope that we have in the Lord. The hope in the finished work of salvation, of what Jesus Christ has done for us. This hope gives us an anchor for the soul. And it's sure and it's steadfast. It's according to the scriptures. What can we think of in this life that's sure and it's steadfast? It will not change. It will live on through eternity. What is it that we can hope in this life? Nothing. There's nothing. All is vanity in this life. But we have a hope as an anchor for the soul that's both sure and it's steadfast. John in his epistle writes, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, the sons and the daughters of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know what our new bodies will be like, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is a hope that we have, that when Jesus Christ comes again, we will be like him, and we will recognize him, and we will see him as he is. This gives us great hope, and we rejoice in this hope, because we have this faith. We are living in faith. We are a living sacrifice, and we live by this faith. And we know that when Jesus will appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We purify ourselves and get rid of the things that are temporal, that are part of this earth, that are part of the despondency that Satan wants to bring our ways. We purify ourselves of those things, and we have a hope that's sure and steadfast, and that we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so we rejoice in this hope. Three words in this chapter: rejoicing in hope. Go so far. We read of stories in concentration camps and in very other dispersed situations that they had hope. The ones that had hope survived. The ones that recognized that they were a part of something that was bigger than themselves, they survived. They made it through. Compared to those who were despondent and who gave up on all hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, praying all the time, having that disposition of praying, Lord, I need thee. Lord, I can't do this by myself. We're waiting on him, and we're trusting in him. This is living in faith. This is living in faith without works of the law, without works of the law. The law can only go so much, and we would, those that were circumcised, perhaps they were babies. They didn't even know what was happening to them, and yet they hung so much on that. And same with keeping the Sabbath in the manner that they did, and same with washing of pots and other things that they did. It meant so little. It meant so little, and it was relatively easy to do, and their heart didn't even have to be in it, but. This life of faith, the just shall live by faith, it requires that we have the love of God within us. God is love, and he loved us first, and we love him in return because he first loved us. And this love that we have powers, it propels the faith that we have. And then we can say that and concur with the scriptures that the just shall live by faith. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, this is all what a life of faith looks like. Blessing them which persecute us, blessing and cursing not. Curse not. So how can it be when we think of what this chapter entails, and some things are great things and maybe some things are small things. So one of the small things is, like, how can we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to when we know everything has been given to us of the Lord? And we know that we are part of God's kingdom, and it's all part of glorifying the Lord, glorifying Him, living for Him, building His kingdom, doing His service. And then when we do it, we say that we are just unprofitable servants and we have only done that which was our duty to do. Glory be to God all the time. And so we don't think of ourselves as more highly than we ought to think. But if we struggle with that, how would it be possible that we would bless those that would persecute us, blessing them and not cursing them? If we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, we're certainly going to curse those who persecute us. There's no other way. We will certainly curse those that persecute us if we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And so there's small things here of what it looks like to live by faith, and there's greater things. But yet, if we have the love of God within us, and we're allowing that love of God within us to power our faith, then we can accomplish these things. And it's not us accomplishing it. It's the grace that has been given unto us. It's the mercies of God that have been given unto us that we are able to accomplish these things. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceits. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't think of yourself as more highly than you ought to think. Don't think that I've got this mastered. When we consider these things that were written here about the things that are accomplished in the body of Christ, prophesying, ministering, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, and all these things, when we consider these things, we might think to ourselves, well, okay, I'm giving. And if we're not in the right mindset, if we're in a carnal mindset, we might think, well, he doesn't give like I give, and he doesn't qualify. And we might start to come into this point where we're being wise in our own conceits. We're being wise. We start to think of ourselves of our abilities that we have. Yeah, they're great, and they're better than that next person. And so he's saying, be not wise in your own conceits, in your own abilities or your own tasks that you're doing. Be not wise in those things. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Recompense to no man, evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. This is what we're being called to. And this is a life of faith. And again, we're being called to this life of faith. And Jesus says when he returns, he says, will he find faith? Will he find faith? Perhaps there's going to be persecution. How are we going to respond? Are we going to bless them? Or are we going to curse them? Are we going to be getting caught up in the politics of this world as we were exhorted this morning not to? How are we going to respond? Are we walking in faith? The just shall live by faith. Therefore, we conclude that that we are justified by faith. And this is what faith looks like. This is what faith looks like. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Then he says, concluding here, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. If someone does us wrong, he's clearly saying here and in other places of the scripture that we are not to avenge ourselves, that we don't bring the revenge on somebody ourselves. But put away wrath. Just put it away. Put that wrath away. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He is just. Our Lord is just. And what he will repay is just. We are not to be overcome by evil. There's evil all around us. We are not to be overcome by that evil. Again, we don't have to spend much time in the world, outside of church or being online or being in large areas with large crowds. We don't have to see that there's, it doesn't take much to see that there's a lot of evil. But we are not to be overcome by it. We are not to be overcome by it. But we are to live by faith. And so we are to overcome evil with good. Such a powerful witness we can be. Not to say that I'm this supporter on this side or this supporter on this side. But if we live by faith and live by these things which are written in Romans chapter 12, that it will be very refreshing to the world to see that, wow, he was done wrong. He was done wrong. And he didn't recompense that person. He had an opportunity to, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He didn't recompense. He doesn't think of himself very highly. And all these things that are written here, what refreshment that is to the world when we live that example. May God grant us grace to live by faith. Amen.